Thousand Paper Cranes, a Daredevil fic written by Ms. Mucci and read by Fortune Do Not Panic. Summary. Matt has a chance meeting with a man in a cafe. It's unlikely that he'll ever meet him again. It's not like he has a way to get in touch with the man. But at least he left him a memento.
You should really take a break.
Matt didn't cease typing. He'd heard the click of Karen's heel before she entered his office. He knew she was going to try to get him to take a walk or eat some lunch, but he was up to his eyes in work. He sometimes wished he had a partner. Sure, his little business of two was booming, and Karen was a wonderful office manager, but he was having to do the work of several people, and in addition to his vigilante activities, he'd been feeling like he was running on empty.
"Let me just finish this brief," he muttered. "I'll get a bite to eat later."
Karen didn't leave, though. She liked to watch him work sometimes, but more than that, Matt suspected that she was concerned for him. She didn't like to leave him alone for too long. It wasn't because of his blindness. Karen respected him and had never given him cause to believe that she pitied him, but she had decided that he was lonely and nothing he said could convince her otherwise. She liked to examine the items in his office, but he couldn't fault her because she always put them back in their original positions.
"What's this?"
Matt sighed, rustling his papers.
"You're going to have to tell me what you're looking at, Karen."
Sorry. "It's a little piece of paper. It's folded to look like a swan."
"It's a paper crane."
"It's cute. I didn't know you did origami."
"I don't. A man gave it to me a few years ago."
"Oh, who was he?" Matt told her the story. It took place 3 years ago. Matt had never regretted saving that old man, running into the road and pushing him out of the way. The cold sting of fluid on his face, crawling into his eyes, the stink of chemicals, and his father's sob when the ambulance carried the two of them to the hospital. Losing his sight had been hard, but even as a child, he'd understood that it was the payment for saving that man's life. He'd taken a stupid risk, and he'd paid for it, but the man had been saved. Matt missed so many things. The kindly colored sky on a bright morning, flowers forming bright pops of colors in a grassy pathway. He missed his sight, sometimes, and he missed the way people treated him when he was sighted. He was tired of people treating him like he was broken, pandering to him, women simpering over the cute, blind man. People would lead out of his path as if Matt couldn't fucking tell that people were walking in front of him. The ones who touched him were the worst. People would grab his arm to guide him like he was a toddler about to walk into traffic. If a man did that, he had no reservation about elbowing them and snapping at them. He tried to be fairer to women, but it made his teeth ache and the way people treated him like he was something delicate and vulnerable. But today, he felt at peace. It was a warm day and he enjoyed the caress of the sun on his face. He had lunch outside, enjoying listening to relaxed conversation around him. He was content on his own, hearing happy voices and feel the sunbeam pass over him. He became aware of a man sitting near him, also on his own. The man's coffee was simmering on his table, and some sort of pastry rested on his plate. The man was alone, but he wasn't scrolling on his phone like so many people seated on the spindly wicker chairs. He was doing something with a piece of paper. Matt could hear it shifting and creasing under his fingers. His finger bone clacked, and he hummed gently to himself. "What are you doing?" Matt didn't know why he spoke to him. He just wanted to. "The ancient art of origami. You know, that thing where you fold paper to make pretty shapes, animals and stuff. Also, the ancient art of sitting on my ass, killing time." He had a pleasant voice, warm and lazy. He sounded remarkably untroubled, as if a hurtling tornado couldn't do more than raise his eyebrow.
"What are you making?"
"It's a crane. If you fold 1,000 of them, you get to make a wish."
"Just make a wish or get it granted?"
"Wish granting is a risky business. I can't guarantee you success, but I can guarantee you one wish, and sometimes one wish is all you need." Matt was intrigued, despite himself. When the man asked him to join his table, he did so without hesitation. He didn't have his cane with him. It was in a dumpster somewhere. He'd thrown it away last night when he'd overheard a mugging and had needed to step in and save a young couple. The man was called Foggy. He didn't offer a surname, and Matt didn't ask for one. They talked about the weather and the food, and wasn't this a lovely cafe? Foggy passed him a small square of card and tried to instruct him how to make an origami fox. It was a pastime probably better suited for somebody who could see the paper they were folding.
Matt's attempt was laughable, but Foggy was unworried. He took the lopsided bullpen of Matt, his fingers brushing Matt's, and folded it properly. "What a cutie," Foggy remarked, and Matt smiled. He knew he was referring to the little paper figure he held in his palm, but he wouldn't have minded if Foggy had been paying him a compliment. Foggy was friendly and sweet. He had a voice that Matt would like to hear again. Foggy dropped something small and pointy into Matt's hand, and he thought it was the fox until he gingerly examined it and realized it was a bird with a long neck, a paper crane. "Tell you what, why don't you hold on to this one? It'll help you get started on reaching 1,000. Matt's mind was accelerating with new excitement, the thrill of knowing you're attracted to somebody and they might desire you too. Foggy's cheek glowed with heat and his laughter was light as sunshine. He laughed at Matt's jokes as if they were the funniest one he'd heard in the world. Before Matt could ask him if he'd like to do this again, Foggy's phone buzzed on the table. He glanced at it and sighed. "I've got to go, Matt, but this was fun. Have a great day, okay?" And he gathered up his bag and some pile of fabric that could be a coat or a sweater, and was gone. Matt sat with the crane, but he eventually had to get back to work, so he left, too, cradling the crane in his palm so it wouldn't get crushed. Karen mulled over the story, but mercifully didn't prod Matt for additional details. He could ramble on about the smell of Foggy's aftershave or the whisper of his hair brushing his collar. He could have told her how he'd floundered to realize that Foggy was rising from his chair and walking away. That Foggy's neck didn't click with the turn of the head. He didn't turn his head. He didn't take a second glance to see Matt still sitting in his chair, the man he'd spent his lunchtime with. No, Matt said nothing, but he held out his hand for the crane. When Karen didn't deposit it into his palm, he frowned. "Karen? Sorry, I was fiddling with it when you were talking, and I must have... It's a come apart." "Karen!" he sat there, listening to Karen fidget with the collapsed crane, mumbling apologies. She was trying to guide it back to its original shape, but didn't seem to be having any luck. It wasn't a big deal. It was only a piece of paper, after all, but it was something that a stranger had made for him. One crane. "I can guarantee you success, but I can guarantee you one wish, and sometimes one wish is all you need." "Matt?" Her voice had changed. "What?" "You know there's something written on here?" "What? Where?" "On the paper, along this crease here." She guided his hand to it, and he dragged his fingers along one wing. When he stroked the wing, he thought the paper felt scratchy, like somebody had scraped a pen nib down it. He brought it to his nose and sniffed it. He couldn't detect the scent of ink under all the other smells. The sweat from his hands, the cheese from the sandwich he'd eaten earlier. Karen's perfume was overpowering to his sensitive nose. "What does it say?" He hated this. Not knowing, not seeing. "It's a phone number. And it says, Foggy." Hope soared in his chest. The knowledge that Foggy had left him a way to contact him was dizzying. He left his cane in a dumpster. It had been a sunny day. Not strange for a man to wear sunglasses on a day like that. Foggy had known he was blind and he'd written his phone number. "Read out the number," Matt urged her, reaching for his phone. She did, and he dialed it into his phone. He clicked call.
"The number you are trying to call has not been recognized."